When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast is now on YouTube. Go on YouTube and search Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast and click that subscribe button to never miss an episode. Welcome back, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast. Woo! Good to say that again. I am one of your hosts, Wrestling Chris G. And joining me on this brand new adventure this week, he's not so young and he's not so much a kid, even though they want to put it out there 10 million times during this episode. It's my good old co-host, Dougie Fresh. Dougie, man, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'd like to apologize for headphone users. Hopefully your eardrums will recover in time when we actually get the episode rolling. My fabulous co-host should know better than to woo like that. that's a punk move, and the views and expressions expressed by Wrestling Chris G do not reflect all of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever team, and I would just like that on the record going forward.
I did not mean to. Did I hurt your ears, Doug?
No, I'm fine. But I'm just looking out for the people that are driving or the people that are on a run or something.
I just had Susie stop on her run. She's like, ow.
God damn.
But all right, everybody. Thank you for hitting that download button on a brand new adventure that we're bringing you that we told you about a week or so ago. This is the start of Pokemon Black and White, Doug.
I'm still mad we're not doing Digimon. I don't know.
Doug's like, oh, we're doing another podcast. We're going to get ready. We're going to do Digimon. Well,
no, more Pokemon. I said, really?
More? I don't think they want more. Yes, everybody, we're giving you more. Your weekly Tuesday episode starts today. Woohoo!
Further pushing the wrestling podcast down the pecking order.
But yeah, we decided here with Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast that you fans deserve more. We have a lot of hardcore fans out there that watch more of the recent episodes of Pokemon. So we're hoping to get more of you to listen to our show. It's something that no Pokemon podcast has done yet. Not even Gotta Watch Them All. Duh.
Why do you insist on name-checking people?
I'm not name-checking anyone. I love Gotta Watch Them All.
You're name-checking. You're just mad because they're not responding to your email.
They're not. I want to collab with them so bad. I'm just messing with you. Yes, I do want to collab with them, but I am name checking them again. I'm sure I've name checked them in the past, but anybody that listens to Gotta Watch Them All, tell them about us. Someone get in their ear. I don't know how many emails that they have out there that's circulating in the old interweb. But yeah, they have yet to respond. Maybe it's because we're more of an edgy podcast, Doug.
There you go. You and this whole big thing about how we're raunchy earlier, and we're not. We're just not like sugary sweet.
Well, I do monitor our Reddit feed that we have, and I actually had this past week on our most recent episode that we dropped, a nice person posted. They said, "Oh, this podcast looks cool. Is this podcast for kids? No. Is there any swearing in it?" And
just a little bit.
So I politely messaged back and said, yes, there is swearing. The podcast is not recommended for kids. So sadly, no, it's not a kids podcast. And the person messaged back and they actually upvoted us and said, thank you for your honesty. I'm going to listen to the podcast, but I just won't have my kid listen.
Well, and that's just it, you know. I mean, because you hit on the key word there. It's not recommended.
Yes.
Far be it for us to tell you,
the audience,
what to have your kids listen to.
Exactly.
That's on you. If you can put your kids to bed at night and say, you know what, they probably listen to me and my partner curse a fair amount, they'll be fine. By all means, every click matters, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Like I was the 10-year-old boy that used to watch South Park on a weekly basis. I was introduced to South Park. Actually, I was introduced to South Park at the age of 7. And I can tell you when. my mom used to work at a call center. I had just gotten my tonsils taken out, and my mom's coworker gave her a VHS tape. Yes, a VHS tape. People don't know what it is, Google it. and gave her a tape that had about like 4 to 5 hours of South Park on the VHS. But yes, so as I laid in bed on my grandma's bed, because that's where I was to recover before going up to my other grandmother's house in Wisconsin to finish my recovery. Yeah, I watched South Park for the first time.
So, completely off whatever, we're already off tangent. Tonsil surgery, is that ice cream stuff bunk, or is it like legitimate?
Give
you ice cream, but then you probably don't want to eat it, is probably the catch.
Oh, no. That ice cream on the throat was fire. Because from what I remember, so this was what? 24 years, because I'm 31 now.
Oh, damn. If you're going to do math, we can go. Yeah.
Hey, math was my best subject, fucker. So, yes, the ice cream on the throat was really, really good. I had a lot of that, but I didn't want too much ice cream. Because it sucks, because you can't eat whole foods for at least a week, maybe 2 weeks, and you have to rely on liquids. Well, after like 3 or 4 days after smelling my grandmother's cooking every single night and knowing I could not eat it, just made me upset. It made me mad. So after a couple days, I tried eating some whole food, and then I would try, and it would, well, I don't want to put too many like bad images in your head.
Yeah, let's not bombard people because they're listening to this possibly first thing in the morning.
Yes. So
or possibly as they're drifting off to sleep. So let's not.
Yes. So, I mean, it just didn't end well.
You're telling me young wrestling Chris G was stubborn.
Oh, I was very stubborn.
No, I don't believe it.
But yeah, the adventures of losing my tonsils at a young age. But outside of that, I did watch a lot of raunchy TV as a child, but I chopped that up to, I was born in the 90s. Nobody gave a fuck back then. I even probably in the 80s and the 70s, nobody gave a fuck about what people watched until like nowadays. Now you can't put anything. You have to be PC ready when you're out there. And I'm not going to be politically correct all the time. And I'm just not going to be. I'm part of the culture where we speak our mind, and if someone doesn't like what you're saying, okay, fuck it. You have your own opinion.
They just leave gnarly comments on review forums.
Still feeling a little salty on that.
No, because it's bullshit. I mean, and I'm not going to go into it. If you know, you know. And I stand by it.
But yeah, I'm all for freedom of speech, everybody, and all that. So you're not going to hurt my feelings.
Unless I say something and it gets edited out the podcast.
Which happens periodically.
Yeah.
You had no idea, Doug.
Until you slipped up and said something.
You're like, wait a minute, you're censoring me? Well, I censor myself sometimes too, Doug.
Yeah, let's not have us dig through our old archives and find some of your stuff.
You can't. It's all been taken down. But all right, everybody. You tuned in to listen to a Pokemon podcast. So that's what we're going to give you, everybody.
We're already this is the part of the show where I tune out.
Oh, shut up.
No, I do. I listen to the beginning to see if we're actually funny or if it's just in my head in the moment. And then once we get into the episode, I tune out.
Oh, so you actually listen to a few of our, you're a couple of our clicks, Doug, per week?
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Well,
All right. If
for no other reason than to make sure the audio sounds fine.
Yeah, I just went back and re-edited our old music in because we got a little bit of hate fan mail previously when I switched up the music. And they're like, that's not Pokemon.
People are just looking for something to complain about.
So I put us back on our regular music for your ears to enjoy. But all right, everybody. But you tuned in to listen to a Pokemon podcast. And today's episode is season 14, episode 1. In Japan, this is episode 660. And here in America, it is episode 655. Today's episode is called In the Shadow of Zekrom, or translated from Japanese to the Ishu region, Zekrom's Shadow.
That's far too long.
Well, get used to it, because wait until we hit episode 667. That one's a honker. Today's episode premiered in both Japan. Well, this one and next week's episode premiered in Japan on September 23rd, 2010. And here in the States, this week and next week's episode premiered in out here in the United States on February 12th, 2011. So, of course, we're going with the U.S. date of February 12th. And Doug, this week you are going first, my friend.
I'm going first, and mine requires a bit of explanation.
Okay.
So strap in, get comfortable, take a knee, whatever you got to do. So the War of the Worlds was a radio broadcast from H.G. Wells, that originally premiered in 1938.
Okay.
The actual date is irrelevant. I mean, it was Halloween of that year. And it was this whole big thing because it was presented as a straight, like, radio announcement. Like, So people were tuning in and hearing this. They were thinking that, you know, shit was legitimately going down. You know, and like people were panicking and, you know, going into bunkers and, you know, unfortunately some people like were jumping out of windows and shit. Like it was going down.
Oh.
And
okay.
Like to the point where like H.G. Wells had to be like putting out, you know, announcements saying that this was a piece of fiction, this was, you know, here's the cast of actors, you know, this was a play. But, you know, people, you know, I mean, like you could do this now and people would be you'd be able to follow it on Twitter and you go, oh, this is something somebody's doing. This is, you know, Jeff's just putting on a play or whatever the fuck. You know, that's cool. Let's tune in. But, you know, this was presented as straight, you know, in 38. So people were panicking. Well, the initial outcry and outrage didn't stop it from being rebroadcast. And in 1949, on February 12th, this was rebroadcast in Ecuador. And despite the fact that it was happening 11 years after the initial release, and now granted, you know, there's no internet, so it's not like you can go and say, oh, this is that thing from 38, and I apologize if anybody can hear any more squeaking.
Your dog is having a ball today.
No, it's a chicken. but I can't do anything. The door is closed. So people couldn't say, oh, this is that thing from America that happened in 1938. This is that play again. So it was rebroadcast in Spanish, and the same panic happened. And I'm trying to get specifics. There was riots and 7 deaths and people were blaming the local newspaper in the town for spreading the hysteria, and yeah, so War of the Worlds has some staying power.
All right, Doug. Well, thank you. Thank you for your education. Because mine's a lot shorter than yours. Because mine's straight and to the point. Mine happened in 1964. And this was the Beatles' first ever New York City concerts. 2 shows at Carnegie Hall.
Carnegie Hall.
My bad. I knew I was going to say it wrong. But yeah, at Carnegie Hall in New York City. So yeah, big moment, big concert. I should have done a little bit more digging, but I can't find if they actually sold out those shows. But I'm almost 100% that they did, because it's the fucking Beatles, man.
I was gonna say I'm sure they did, because this is the height of Beatlemania. This, you know, they're over in America for the first time. You know, the music's on the radio, obviously. You know, radio is not what it is today. Well, I mean, what is radio today? But that's a whole nother discussion. But it's not like today where you can basically have, you know, a la carte music. So like if you like the Beatles, you're specifically getting Beatles, but the Beatles were like the thing. So like you were getting a new Beatles song is out, you're getting it almost, you know, as soon as possible, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, when they were on Ed Sullivan, you know, you just, you know, you could look that up on YouTube right now. They come out and just, you know, and I'm not going to do it because I'm cognizant of headphone use.
You just did it.
Shut up.
Doug turned into a fangirl.
Whatever, what I do in the privacy of my own home on a Sunday night is my own business, and I will thank you not to be airing my dirty laundry.
So, all right. Like I said, mine was short, sweet, and to the point. And that's all I have to say on that this week, because there's nothing else to say, because we've honestly talked way more than enough about the Beatles and the previous year that you can go back and listen to any of our other history dates if you want to learn more about the Beatles. So find those episodes, people, because I don't know which ones they were. So you ready?
I feel like it was just a couple weeks ago.
Probably. Honestly, probably.
Well, because you did the cartoon, and that was a couple weeks ago, if not last week.
Yeah, we did the cartoon. We did hit songs that they've premiered on the radio. We've done probably just as much Beatles on this podcast as I have brought up Star Wars.
Or if not, it's really close.
Yeah, or Howard Stern. That we brought up a couple of times as well too. So, all right. So you ready to jump on in, Doug?
Definitely.
All right, everybody. In the Shadow of Zekrom. Zekrom is one of the legendary Pokemon. For those that are not fully caught up on the Pokemon series, everybody. But we start this week's episode with a nice little like animation of Zekrom basically flashing across the screen, and the narrator brings us in as if we're brand new to watching Pokemon. And this is what I liked, and this is why, because me and you did a little bit of digging, Doug, to try to find out what would be the perfect spot to jump into a later episode of Pokemon without having to backtrack too much. And this one, this easily could have been the very first episode of Pokemon if it wasn't for the early episodes. That is how much they stopped and introduced everything at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah, I mean, so if you were looking for a clean entry point and you wanted to go a little bit further than the originals, you know, you had pretty much an open invitation here, I would say.
Yes. Oh, we start this week's episode with a view of the world going all the way down to Kanto. And we're looking at Ash's little tiny home. He has a very small house. Like, this house looks tiny.
I feel like this would be more like in step with the video game, because his house was kind of tiny in the video game. So maybe they like, let's make it tiny.
Yeah. But I mean, you get a real good view of this house. And I feel like the house was bigger in the early episodes. And maybe I'm mistaken, everybody. But I kind of feel like the house was bigger. And then they moved to like the house two doors down since Ash is gone all the time. I don't know. But Ash is at the beginning of this. You see him putting on his brand new black gloves. He's zippering up his zipper. Pikachu is jumping.
Wait a minute.
What?
What's he doing?
He's zippering up his jacket.
That's not what you said.
What did I say?
You said he's zippering up his zipper.
All right, everybody. Podcasting for a living. Yes, Ash is zippering up his new jacket. He has on some brand new black pants, which is going to be his outfit for this upcoming season of Pokemon. And he is introducing his brand new hat.
Which he almost forgets.
Yes, he walks out of the room without it. And he looks right over at Pikachu and he's like, Pikachu, are you psyched? And he's getting ready to walk out because he's getting ready to go on a nice vacation, Doug.
Yes. So it was a bit of a weird circumstance because we're being introduced to, you know, this 10-year-old kid who's been 10 years old for 20 years. I mean, it's Simpsons syndrome.
Yeah, I thought that was really weird, Doug.
and you say, oh, he's getting ready to go on an adventure. No, he's getting ready to go on vacation. And you're sitting there as potentially as a new viewer going, vacation from what?
But yeah, he's about to go on vacation with his mother, and soon we find out Professor Oak is here, and I'm gonna have you, because you made me laugh with the way that you kind of describe Professor Oak. But Professor Oak was he's ready to go. He has no care in the world for anything, Doug.
Yeah, no, he is completely in vacation mode. He taking a skip ahead. He's got shades on. He's got a visor on. He's got a Hawaiian shirt with pineapples on it. He's in complete chill mode.
And he had enough nerve, because Ash looked at him and he was like, why are you dressed like that? And Professor Oak says, he's like, well, in between my studies is my time, and I'm going to go out here and just have a whole bunch of fun. I'm ready for a vacation. So I would have to think that Tracy, who's still at his office, is taking over all of his ventures while he's gone on this trip.
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty safe bet. I mean, you got to leave somebody in charge, and it's not going to be, you know, Ash's muck or anything.
So they're getting ready to go over to the Unova region, which is what they have repeated about 10 times from the jump start of this already. And we're only a minute into the episode. But as soon as Ash and Pikachu get ready and they hop into the car, we got a brand new theme song, Doug. Oh, wait, no, we don't. No, we don't.
No, we don't.
I'm so sorry, everybody. I'm so used to the theme song popping up now as soon as something like that happens. But we actually shoot right over to Team Rocket. Doug, do you want to go over what's happening inside of this really dark room with Jesse James, Meowth, and Giovanni?
So Giovanni is kind of, you know, I want to say he's kind of getting read the riot. The Team Rocket's kind of getting read the riot act, but not really. It's basically like, Team Rocket is stating the Rocket Corp like mission statement back to Giovanni, and like they're hyper aware that this might be somebody's first episode, and so they want to establish, you know, from jump that these three in the black get-ups are the bad guys.
Yes.
And, you know, kind of what they're about. And, you know, Jesse, James, and Meowth have probably heard this speech so many times. They basically have it memorized, and they're basically repeating it.
Back.
Exactly. And, like, they're not skipping a beat. And, you know, Giovanni is this big looming figure. And, you know, obviously, coming fresh off of the movie where we're basically introduced to him for the first time after him being a figure in the shadows for the first, you know, couple of seasons. It's like, oh, so Giovanni's just out on Front Street.
Yes. So Giovanni's explaining to Jesse James and Meowth that they are on the hunt for a brand new powerful Pokemon, and that they are going to go over to the Unova region, and he flashes a picture of the map. Now, I want to ask you, because my first impression of this map, like when you look at it, does it not look like a monster? Like it has a head, a mouth, and like arms on the side, like the way that they built this map. Like it just looks a little funky to me. Does it not to you?
Yeah, and I mean, that could be, you know, because you said something, because, I mean, you know, like, looking at it, I can see what you're saying. But, you know, that could just be, like I say, because you said something. But gotcha. You're not wrong.
Okay.
Because it does kind of have that look to it, if you're just kind of taking a quick glance at it.
But yes, Giovanni is telling Team Rocket after they recite everything, you're going to the Unova region. We are in research or for a legendary Pokemon that is out there. Ooh, bless you. And we are very close to retrieving this Pokemon. And Team and Jesse and James are just looking on to this map and they're like, okay. And he's saying that he's going to be sending them out there to do some research and to help Team Rocket acquire what they need while they're out there to get this legendary Pokemon. So right now they're setting the stage, Doug. So yes. we have no idea what they're trying to acquire. I mean, we know that they're looking to get the legendary Pokemon, but we don't know what they have to do yet. We're going to find this out as soon as Jesse and James get out there and what they're going to have to do.
Right. But I'm sure, you know, unless you take for granted that it might be somebody's first episode, you're probably at least somewhat aware of what Team Rocket's all about.
Oh, yes. So stealing, like, Pokemon.
Right. And they even say so in the little motto there.
Yes. Stealing Pokemon so they can take over the world. So that is what Team Rocket wants to do. Man, it must suck being in Team Rocket. But it seems like a lot of the people that are in Team Rocket get treated pretty well.
Except for those particular three.
Yes, besides them that ran up a big debt. he flashes the map off the screen, tells Team Rocket that they're going to be going to the Unova region undercover, and that basically they cannot be seen as Team Rocket. They have a new getup as well. They have brand new black outfits, Doug, that they are introducing in this season.
Yeah, because they got to hit you right over the head with the fact these are the bad guys.
Yes. And, okay, but my thing is, freaking Jesse and James, it's the exact same outfits that they've had for 14 seasons. It's just a different color now.
Well, you know, sometimes color makes all the difference. I don't know what to tell you.
So after Jesse and James agree to go out there, they're like, yes, sir, Giovanni, sir. And he flashes the screen off, and we actually get a close-up of Giovanni. Pershing comes up and starts rubbing up against Giovanni. And let's see. Giovanni gets word from his secretary that they have received reports of an unidentified team that is out in the Unova region as well, Doug.
Why did you think that was his secretary?
I mean, she's the front hand woman inside of his office.
That's sexist.
That is not sexist.
That's a little sexist.
I mean, she's right there as soon as the video is off, and the person that's reporting firsthand to Giovanni of any trouble that might be coming along.
Hey, I'm not telling you how to live your life, bro. I'm just saying.
So, all right, Doug. Giovanni. He's not worried from this, and he tells his secretary that once Jesse, James, and Meowth gets out there and start operating, that he believes everything will start going as smooth as possible. And he says that it is now a matter of time before they get their legendary Pokemon. And then we go straight from that to the shot of a boat that looks like it's, well, both, that's an airplane, because it's clearly sailing and it's taking off from the water, Doug.
Gotta keep you on your toes. Yeah, and then we find out that Team Rocket is in said ship, plane, boat thing, and then we find out that Ash, Oak, and his mom are on the same ship, and we get a little bit more general information about the Unova region, and Ash is kind of hitting the points that we would hit as a viewer, like, oh boy, we're going to get to see new Pokemon that we haven't seen in the Kanto, and you know, all this stuff, and Ash is practically salivating at the prospect of, you know, seeing new Pokemon and going on new adventures.
Yes.
And then we get a shot of Ash and Pikachu looking out the window, and then 3 minutes into the episode, we get the theme song, yeah.
Yes. And You said yourself, this theme song is kind of a pass. I kind of agree with you. I mean, it's a little catchy tune. They're like, it's black and white, blah, blah, and it's kind of a weird animation too, because it's not quite 3D yet. When it comes to the theme song, but the drawings are drawn in a way to make it 3D, I guess you can say, right, Doug?
I don't know. I skipped it.
Oh. Well, the theme song is only about 30 seconds. I literally skipped ahead 30 seconds and I got In the Shadow of Zekrom as the title screen. So we go straight from that to we're back in the air and Ash and Pikachu are looking out the window. And they are arriving at the Unova region.
Yeah, so we see they're flying over the water. And, you know, we get, you know, Oak says, oh, that's the Unova region. And we all, as viewers, say, no shit. the pilot's making his announcements. We make a smooth landing on the water.
They can't have these things in real life, do they? Do are there really airplanes like that?
Well, yeah, one time and they made a movie about it. But that wasn't on purpose. No. No.
Okay. Okay, I thought so. I was like, there ain't no way that there's an airplane that's like this. I mean, I know that this episode dates all the way back to what year was it? 2010, and we're in 2021 right now, 11 years later. But Christ. Maybe I'll look it up. Something tells me someone's invented a damn airplane that goes on water.
I mean, you wouldn't think it would be that difficult, and I'm sure there's some out there, but it's not like, oh, I'm gonna take the United Aquajet, you know.
I'm Googling it right now. Airplane on water.
Well, so while Chris is getting sucked down that rabbit hole, we land, and Ash is a ball full of energy.
Seaplanes. Yes. Sorry.
They start to go, and Pikachu is stopped by something off in the distance. Goes the complete opposite direction.
Yes.
And we see a storm approaching in the distance. But then we see a fish Pokemon that Ash is completely mesmerized by because he's an idiot.
And we don't know what that Pokemon is yet. Actually, I have that Pokemon in Pokemon Go. I should know. But as of right now, we don't know what that Pokemon is as of right now. But then after Ash goes running after the new Pokemon and Pikachu starts running towards the water where the storm is, we get a glimpse of Team Rocket in their undercover getup. And right now they are in full blown. Well, it looks like James is in like a grayish blue bodysuit and Jesse is in a purple bodysuit, with both of them wearing hats and both of them wearing sunglasses.
And then as they're standing there, Pikachu is captured by some kind of mechanical cage doohickey.
Yeah, it was. That was a weird little machine. It's like a bunch of bars. It starts off as one bar, and it sprouts out like eight different bars, wraps around Pikachu, and Pikachu just goes nah.
So it's safe to say that the Team Rocket gadget budget has gone up, I would say, because I feel like in the first couple seasons it'd be like a rubber balloon or something.
Yes.
And, you know, at least Ash knows Team Rocket when he sees him. I mean, you would hope so, but again, the kid's been 10 for 20 years, so who knows at this point.
But he tells Pikachu to use Thunderbolt while inside of this cage, and Meowth opens up like this little tiny compartment on the device that he's carrying, which completely deflects the electricity everywhere else but at him. And how does it still not hit Jesse and James?
Like, yeah, no, it would, especially because it's sent off in all different directions. It would still get them.
Yeah, for real. But they say that that the electricity is getting blocked, and that Pikachu cannot sit there and fry them. But as this is going on, the storm that we were talking about for the past couple minutes now is getting bigger. And it's now covering almost all of the Unova region. Well, I wouldn't say all of it, but the majority of the part that Ash and the gang just flew into. And it's got crackling lightning, and it's swirling around as if it's about to form a tornado. And this causes concern for Ash's mom and Professor Oak, who are inside checking their baggage in. And they turn around, they're like, "Whoa, what is that, Doug?"
And basically, as they turn around, the center of the storm opens up, and a big swath of like blue lightning comes down and strikes everything, completely breaks Pikachu out of that cage, knocks Ash on his back, knocks Team Rocket, every which way, and Pikachu's standing there, and you could tell the Pikachu's kind of catching the brunt of things.
Possibly
because it's an electric-type Pokemon.
But they're now surrounded by what looks like electricity all around them, but we don't know what this is. It looks like they're now like in the center of, I'm going to call it the Blue Tornado, because it's formed all around them. Nobody else, they can't see out of it, and nobody can see in it. So they're in the middle of whatever is going on right now, and they can still see the clear white patch that's in the middle that's forming this like little blue tornado. And Pikachu looks up kind of frazzled and does thunder straight into the middle of the cloud, and that's when we get introduced to Zekrom. We get a figure of Zekrom in the middle of this big blue tornado, and Ash is looking up, and he's like, a Pokemon.
You know, like he hasn't lived his whole life seeing Pokemon, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
He got mesmerized by a fish. It's like you knew you were going to see different Pokemon.
Yes. So, I mean, he gets like this at the beginning of everything. He's like, oh, what's that? Oh, what's that? Oh, that's so cool. So, yeah. And then we have one of our new main characters peek her head up. We're not going to give her name as of yet, but she picks her head up, and she has the Pokemon Axu that's right next to her, and they're both looking at the storm from afar.
And she jumps out of a tree and grabs onto a vine and goes swinging down towards the ground, and then we're returned back to the center of the storm, where Ash's mom is going to go out in the storm foolishly and check on her son. And then we get another close-up of the legendary Pokemon in the clouds.
Zekrom.
And then there's another blast, and then the storm completely disappears.
Yes. And it doesn't disappear, though, like, without jolting Ash back. Like, this creature Pokemon just flies off at the speed of light, at the speed of lightning.
And
stop it. He did, though.
Boo.
And he's gone. And it's now a clear blue sky that they came into. Very nice weather and everything. But that at that time basically pushed Ash back, and now all of the systems and everything that was going berserk a second ago are all now back online.
And Pikachu recovers, and everything seems to be well, and you know, Pikachu seems to be chipper, and then all of a sudden there's a little bit of unintentional electric discharge from Pikachu's cheeks, and everybody's phased for like a second, and then Pikachu gets back on Ash's shoulder like nothing happened.
Yes. So, and it's at this time that Professor Oak and Ash's mom run over and come and check up on Ash, and they're like, hey, are you okay? And Ash is like, yeah, never better. Like, you just got hit by fucking lightning, little kid.
And he got it in the first episode of the whole show. He's probably used to it at this point.
That's freaking Zekrom, though. Like, Zekrom freaking shocked the mess out of them.
Lightning's lightning.
But Ash's mom looks up and basically alludes to the fact that that was a very weird cloud and very unusual. And Professor Oak then agrees. He's like, yeah, that definitely was very, very weird. And all Professor Oak is basically stating is all they saw was a flash. So Ash was in the middle of this. And he kind of he's thinking like, what do you mean? Just a flash. But he was in the middle of this, so he saw a lot more. So, again, people could not see into this little blue tornado as much as Ash could see out of it.
Which, you know, makes sense. And it also kind of plays on the whole, you know, he's just a kid. He might be exaggerating. You know, Pikachu obviously saw the same thing, but Pikachu can't communicate as well. So it's kind of like Ash might be a little overstimulated, you know.
Yes. So Ash then states that he saw a Pokemon in the middle of the blue tornado. And Professor Oak sits there and he's like, well, all we could see was the cloud. And Ash turns around and he's like, that's weird. What kind of Pokemon was that? So it's at this time now that we get Professor Juniper, who is basically the professor of this island. It's this island's version of Professor Oak.
Doug? Right, right. So Oak, I was immediately familiar with Juniper and makes the introductions to Ash's mom and Ash, and you know, she's happy and chipper, and they're taking a trip in a Jeep to Juniper's lab, and
you get some flashes of some new Pokemon. You get a pink Deerling. Everybody who's familiar with Deerling.
We get a flock of P-Doves flying overhead.
Yes.
We see a pack of gophers, which, you know, help.
what are I forgot what those are called. Those are the Unova region's version of Rat Attack. Give me 1 second and I will. I think it's called Pat Rat, but give me one moment. I will have that Pokemon down. Is if you want to continue, Doug.
So as they're driving, Pikachu has another little episode of unwanted kind of lightning surge, and Juniper doesn't seem to be too concerned. She says, "Oh, once we get back to my lab, we can take a look at Pikachu." And Ash is like, "That'd be great." And then,
let's see. Here we go. It that Pokemon. Yeah, Pat Rat. Perfect.
There you go.
Okay.
And then we get the obvious explanation that the Kanto region Pokemon are very rare in the Unova region, so they're not as familiar with
Pikachu,
and we'll see later on that Meowth is made to be a big deal and all this stuff.
Yes, and then this is where we get the Who's That Pokemon, and this week's Pokemon is Pidove.
Which, again, they're an episode ahead of them, so.
I told you it's not gonna change, Doug.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. Like, and you say, well, we just saw Pidove. Well, fine, but yeah, I don't know.
I was about to say technically Pidove is in this episode,
right? It's, but he's a focal point of the next one.
Yes. And Pidove, everybody that is listening to this and not familiar, that is the Unova's version of a Pidgey from the Kanto region.
I thought you were going to say Spearow and I was going to hit you.
No. But we finally make it back into town, and we're back at Dr. Juniper.
She might be a doctor.
Professor Juniper's office, where they have Pikachu hooked up to an electrode system, and it looks like Pikachu basically just she has too much electricity, he has too much electricity in his body,
but in a roundabout way, Ash kind of jumps to the conclusion that he's fine, and Pikachu's ready to leave, but then Juniper's like, well, I've still got some tests that I'd like to run, and Pikachu's like, fuck.
Yeah, well, she wants to run these tests because, again, Pikachu is a rare Pokemon, right. And she doesn't have the opportunity to run these type of tests very often. I mean, but you would think being a professor and the way that people can transport their Pokeballs and everything everywhere, that Professor Oak and her and all of the professors of the different regions can send over different Pokemon to be studied in different regions.
Well, right.
But I mean, maybe I'm thinking too far ahead. Maybe I'm getting yelled at by Sammy driving his car. Like, they do that in a couple weeks. But I mean, I don't know this yet because I'm watching this with fresh eyes, everybody.
So it's Professor Juniper's assistant comes into the lab and says, "There's a new trainer in the lobby, getting ready to start their journey." And Ash is excited because he's, oh, I get to see some starter Pokemon. And then we go out to the lobby and we see Vincent Von Douchebag.
Dude, I take back everything that I said about Gary being a douche and how Ash can be kind of a douche a little bit as well. But this guy takes it to a whole nother level.
He's got this blondish kind of bowl cut mullet thing, and he's taking pictures with his little
camera.
Little it's not a phone. I mean, it's a legitimate, like, a one-shot camera thing. And he's just, like, you can tell he's already kind of over everything. the guy's name is Trip. And so Professor Juniper, the lab assistant, and Ash come walking out of down this hallway. And the assistant is pushing the tray with the three Pokemon, and the guy's like, I'm ready to start my Pokemon journey, and you got the whole spiel about waiting your whole life, and you're 10, and Ash is overeager and immediately gets shut down by this guy. And
yeah, Trip, Ash is basically like, he's like, nice to meet you. He's like, I bet you stayed up all night waiting to get your very first Pokemon. And Trip is looking at him. He's like, Ash from the Kanto region? And then he laughs, and Ash is like, what's so funny?
Ash needed to take a step back here. He was way too overeager. Whole scene was cringe.
Yeah, so Trip, he's like, I knew you were from the boonies as soon as I saw you. I was like, ooh, boonies. I was like, all right now. Taking shots at Ash already.
Well, he does kind of look boonie-ish.
A little bit.
He's got his little hat, his jacket, and hard sneakers.
Hey, his mom makes his outfits for him.
I didn't say anything. I'm just saying. Looks a little try hard.
So, basically, then, what's up?
I was going to say, and then we get the roll call of the three starter Pokemon Trip has the opportunity to pick from.
Yes. The first Pokemon is the Fire-type Pokemon, Tepig.
And it comes out of a little Pokeball, and it's a cute little pig, and it fortunately it's got allergies apparently.
Yeah, and just sneezes, and out comes fire, and Ash is like, oh, that's your fire type Pokemon.
And then we get the water type, and it's
Oshawott. Yes.
Gotcha.
And Oshawott comes out and just looking all sorts of cute. But this one, it gets infatuated with Ash, and that's a key point. Just like completely gushes over Ash. And then we get the grass type Pokemon, Snivy.
And Snivy just comes out of the Pokeball, just immediately is better than everybody in the room. And
it's hands on hip.
Just completely just posing and just snootier and all get out. And
Trip, he's just ready. He's looking over and he's examining these Pokemon. And he's like, I already know which one. He's like, it's clear as day which one's the best out of all of them. I'm gonna pick Snivy.
And I think everybody and their mother could have predicted that because they basically look alike. And
frickin' Oshawott was stunned that he was not picked by Trip. Like, he's like, wait a minute. Wait, what? And they draw him like a black and white shell of its own self. And Oshawott's just like, you didn't pick. You think Snivy is better than me?
Oshawott literally fainted out of shock.
he was shocked. But Professor Juniper then takes the new Pokédex, which we find out can be used as a cell phone as well. She made that perfectly clear. She said, here's your new phone and Pokédex.
Which is fine, or fair, because at this point it probably should be able to be a phone as much as... I mean, and the original one should have been a phone, to be fair.
Yeah, for real. And then Ash's mom could call him every 30 seconds if she wanted to.
Ash would block that number.
Ash already doesn't call home as much as he as he should. I mean, Professor Oak even, I mean jumping forward I think it's this episode or the next one, but at some point in the episode looks at Ash and is just like, make sure you call.
I think it's the next one, yeah.
But then Professor Juniper goes and gives Trip his first 5 Pokeballs, stating that he can only keep 6 Pokemon on him at a time, and gives him the 6th Pokeball, which is Snivy's.
So what was stopping him from changing his mind at the last second and going, Oshawott?
I choose you, Oshawott. But
or being a complete dick and taking 2 of those Pokeballs and saying, give me those other 2 too.
He can't do that.
He didn't say he couldn't.
But well, he can't take his Pokeballs because Oshawott and Topig already have their own Pokeballs. That the other Pokeballs will not work on them. Because they're already registered.
Prove it.
And we've seen that in past episodes.
I'd still try it.
I know you would, because you're a dick.
But, so Trip is already over everything, and he's walking out, and Ash chases him down for no goddamn good reason.
I know, like, Ash deserved everything that he got in this next scene. So he runs over to Trip and basically tells Trip that he has strong Pokemon, and he believes that that Trip's Pokemon looks strong, and he wants to battle his Pokemon. So Trip is looking at him. He's like, you want to battle me? You want to be my first battle? Well, all right then. So it's at that point that it's Pikachu versus Snivy. And Doug, do you want to go over some of this?
So Ash has a bit of overconfidence, and it's not even a bit. He's straight up overconfident. And quite frankly, he should be, because that Pikachu should be at like level 60 at least. And, yes. You know, so it's Pikachu versus Snivy, and he goes to use some kind of electric tackle.
Bolt tackle. Yes.
And
Pikachu can't use it.
He can't. So Ash is like, oh, that's that's unfortunate. He goes, well, because obviously it harkens back to the storm that we had a couple minutes ago.
Yes.
Well, we don't 100% know that, but we're kind of
alluding to that.
Yeah, that's the word. So, thank you. Alluding to it. Yeah.
So we are they're having this battle, and Trip is taking photos of Snivy, and Ash is all weirded out at this
point. Well, he's taking pictures of Pikachu too, which is the real problem.
And Ash is like, why do you keep taking pictures of Pokemon? And he's like, this is Snivy's first Pokemon battle. Pikachu is a rare Pokemon out here, and we don't get to see many Pikachus. And as he's explaining himself, we get a close-up of behind a tree, and we see Oshawott looking at the battle from a distance. Where the hell was Professor Juniper? Where is Professor Juniper when it came to recalling these Pokemon after Trip picked his first Pokemon?
Hey, she's got a whole lab to look after.
I don't care.
She can't be.
What, she can't be looking after the Pokemon, Doug?
She can't be looking after one Pokemon in particular. I mean, She's got so many duties.
I guess.
I mean, if you wanted to get particular, yeah, I guess you could say, well, she could have sent her assistant, but I mean, you're not wrong. I mean,
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things, but all right, but we're getting ready to get into this battle. So, actually, the first move that Pikachu was using was again tackle. It was a tackle move, which was yes, it was quick attack, and that one hit.
That was effective.
Yes. So Snivy got hit, but Snivy is a tough SOB. And Trip tells Snivy to go and use its tackle, and Pikachu dodges it like vigorously. Like, is it me or you, Doug? But shouldn't Pikachu easily, like just with a tackle and this Snivy being such a low level, shouldn't this have been the easiest battle for Pikachu? Because Pikachu has been in tournaments.
Well, and that was going to be my next question. Aside from it being an easy battle for Pikachu, when you get your Pokemon in the game, your first Pokemon, it's what, level
five?
Yeah, yep. Five. Okay.
Yeah.
So level yeah, five. This should have been a one tackle and done, because, like I say, this Pikachu, it's hard to quantify, but it's probably at least 60.
Yes. Easily.
If not much further, because like you said, it's been in tournaments,
many different attacks that you can't learn as a baby Pikachu or Pichu or Pikachu.
Right, and I mean, when Trip put out his Pokédex to scan Pikachu, it did note that Pikachu was the evolved form of Pichu, which obviously is not a thing when we revert back to our current timeline.
Yes, because Pichu has not been introduced into Pokemon, and we don't have baby Pokemon as of yet. Like when the episode with Pikachu and all the other Pikachus, the baby Pikachus were strictly just baby Pikachus. Like they were just tiny. But later on in the series, we find out that different Pokemon have different sizes. Just like Ash's Krabby was like three times smaller than Gary's Krabby. Gary had a huge Krabby that had not yet evolved yet, but Ash's Krabby was just a little tiny little pipsqueak.
Caught the runt of the litter.
Yes. So, all right, so back to the battle. Snivy tries a second tackle, and Pikachu dodges it again. And
this is where we ran into the issue, because Ash wanted Pikachu to use Thunderbolt and could not.
Yes, and I felt for Ash. Like, I got irritated watching this. I was like, oh, man, Ash is trying to show off his Pokemon, and he can't. So Pikachu is like looking like, what the hell? I can't use Thundershock. And then Snivy comes in and just rams him and just tackle. Boom. And Pikachu just flies back. And Ash is like, Pikachu, Thunderbolt again. And Pikachu's trying its hardest. It's trying. And it can't. And Pikachu is now out of breath, and Trip is a complete dick. He's like, what is this? A battle where we're calling out moves that your Pokemon can't do? Like, what the hell?
And then Ash gets mad. He goes, Pikachu, Iron Tail. And Iron Tail's fine. And
no, it's at this point that he says Bolt Tackle, and Pikachu just can't, he can't do it. And this is when Ash finds out that it's all only the electric attack moves.
So then, pardon me, so then he uses Iron Tail.
Yes.
But Snivy's able to dodge it and uses a move called Leaf Tornado that completely catches Ash off guard, which is, I don't feel like, is a level 5 move.
I don't think so. Well, maybe it's the first. I'm going to have to play the game. I'm guessing that's probably like in Red and Blue, how Bulbasaur has Vine Whip and it learns Vine Whip I think at level 7, because I think Charmander learns Ember at level 7, and that's the first move that it learns. I think in the new game, Leaf Tornado might be the first move that it learns.
That's all well and good, but there's no way this Snivy has been in battle long enough to gain 2 levels of experience.
For real. But this Leaf Tornado is very impressive. And Trip basically, because Ash is like, what the hell is a Leaf Tornado? And Trip is like, oh, you don't know what this move is yet, do you? And basically calling Ash a booty again. And this is when Snivy sends the tornado into Pikachu. Pikachu is caught off guard, gets tossed all the way up into the air, and then just gets slammed on the ground. And we find out that Snivy is actually using this tornado from the bottom of, or controlling this tornado from the bottom of its tail.
And sends the energy completely down and just completely wrecks Pikachu into a ditch. Ash goes over and picks Pikachu up. Pikachu is out like a light.
Yes.
Trip is a complete ass. Calls back Snivy and says, Snivy. Well, I would say that's a successful battle.
And he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm glad I chose you, Snivy.
And, you know, Ash goes running back to Juniper's lab.
Well, Trip looks at him and says, I hope you guys train a lot better than what you battled here. I'm like, well, damn. Like, just to add insult to injury.
And then we get Pikachu's back on the table again, and we get more analysis from Juniper and Oak.
Yes. And this is when we find out from Professor Juniper that Pikachu is experiencing electrical overload. So basically, when Pikachu got shocked by Zekrom, sent way too much electricity into Pikachu, and Pikachu cannot use its electric attacks because its body is overcharging with electricity.
And so we kind of get that explanation, and Ash is like, well, does that mean the Pikachu won't be able to use electric moves again? And then at that point, the storm comes back, starts interfering with the instruments and the devices.
Yes.
Pikachu's completely overwhelmed by the energy around.
Yes, and it's the black cloud. The black cloud, it's just over... It's just hanging over Professor Juniper's lab, and then, well, it looks like it is, but then we get a glimpse back with this new character that's going to be in Black and White. She does not have a name yet, but then we find out this cloud is over the very first town that they're in. It's over the entire town, just striking down lightning wherever it can.
And, you know, we see that Pikachu is being completely traumatized by the storm, and it's being overwhelmed by its instinct to use lightning. And then we get this real ominous speech from Juniper. Zooms in tight on her face, and God damn it, fucking YouTube doesn't scroll for shit.
Yeah, she said, could this cloud be Zekrom, the legendary Pokemon? And she said, Zekrom is quite electric in these parts. And from within its thunder, let's see.
Zekrom watches over, and its lightning bolts are seen to be judgment and all kind of ominous shit. The episode's on YouTube if you want to take a look. and then we get another quick glimpse of Zekrom in the clouds, and Pikachu is just completely losing control and just enveloped in electricity. And then we get the the narrator's
The narrator is basically summing up that what's going to happen. Pikachu, Zekrom is over the city, striking down lightning wherever. Pikachu is getting overwhelmed by the electrical charges of what's going on in this city. Will Pikachu be okay, everybody? What is Zekrom's plans for coming over this town? I guess you're going to have to wait until next week to find out in part two. And that's basically it, because then after that, we go straight to credits after the to be continued logo.
Right. So that's it. And I mean, if that doesn't make you want to keep watching, I don't know what will.
I know. So that was it. And yes, everybody, the airplane is called Seaplanes. So I guess it was something that was actually made in 1912, and they have updated versions today that people use to fly to islands, Doug, is what Google is telling me.
Nah, I'll be all right.
But you know what time it is, Doug? You hear that?
It is 10:17.
Oh, stop it. It's time to open up a Pokemon pack, everybody. You waited until the end of this episode, or you got through the this first episode with us.
You don't know that. They could have skipped to the end.
Stop it.
You don't know that. You cannot make that assumption.
Yeah, maybe like 0.01% of our audience skips to the end to find out what Pokemon we pulled. But I am holding a Pokemon trading card game Sword and Shield Battle Styles pack in my hand right now. So it's time to open up this pack, and I am opening it. So, Doug, what is going to be my energy card in this pack? What type of energy?
Go with the theme of the episode, say electric.
Okay, you're 100% right. It is an electric. All right. So let's go ahead and go through.
This is fake. It's pre-planned.
All right. So I have that. I do have a Rapid Strike Energy, a Tower of Waters card, a Stonejourner, a Salazzle, a Salandit, I guess I'm a Pachirisu, a Meowstic, an Esper. I do have a trainer, a reverse holo turbo patch card, and then I have a non holographic Corviknight V card that I pulled. So that was the rare out of this pack, and yay. I mean, it's not the greatest pulls this week, as you can hear from my expression. I mean, I did get a non-holo Corviknight V, but I feel like my son has one of those upstairs already, so nothing new really for this week. But I did get a reverse holo turbo patch card. What is this card? It says, flip a coin if heads. Attach a basic energy card from your discard pile to one of your basic Pokemon that isn't a Pokemon GX. All right. So that is what that card does, everybody. So what do you give this first episode on your Dougometer, Doug?
I mean, it's so hard to judge the first episode, especially because this was a very clear, like, part one. They leave you on a cliffhanger. I'm going to be a little generous and probably say about a 3. And it's specifically for the cliffhanger. If it wasn't for that, it'd probably be a 2.
Really? You would go with a 2? I mean, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give this about a 3.5 this week, only because this episode has a lot of progression. They kind of throw you right out there It's a good start over point for people that don't want to go back and watch the originals. You get introduced to some Pokemon that you've never seen before. At the beginning of this episode, you don't get their names, even though we gave you a couple of their names during this episode. You don't get a lot of their names yet. But we also get introduced to Ash's rival at the beginning of this episode, which seems like he's going to be a key player in this season of Pokemon. So we're going to see where that takes us. Other than that, I'm going to give it about a 3.5 because I saw some progression and I'm very excited to get into next week's episode.
Well, there would have to be progression. It's the first episode. If they spin their wheels for the first episode, there's no incentive to come back.
Exactly. So, all right. Well, do you have anything else to add for this week, Doug?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, with that being the case, say goodbye, Doug.
Goodbye, Doug.
All right, everybody. And this is Wrestling Chris G telling all of you, we have a new episode coming out this upcoming Friday. Go ahead and listen to that episode later on this week. And we will see you on the flip side. Have a good night, everybody.